Hallelujah. I've got what I think is an interesting lesson for tonight. Let's stand to our feet. We're going to pray before we get into the Word tonight. And I want to ask you to pray for me. Pray tonight that God have His way. I think my subject matter tonight, something very relevant, I think something that we should know that the Bible is full of, but it's one of those topics that can be a little difficult to convey, and I'm just asking for the Lord's help tonight. Reach your hands this way. Let's agree together in prayer tonight. Heavenly Father, we thank You, Lord, and we praise You this evening. We honor You. We thank You for Your goodness, Your mercy, Your love. Thank You for Your Word and every promise that's in Your Word. And Lord, tonight as we look into Your Word, we look to You, Lord, that You would guide us tonight, that the anointing of Your Spirit would rest upon us and help us tonight to break the bread of life, Father, in a way that would be pleasing to You, that would be uplifting, that would, Lord, be kingdom building this evening. Father, we know that You have a master plan, and help us to look into that plan and see, Father, what You have in store for Your children. Lord, acknowledge in all of our ways tonight. Direct our path. Be glorified tonight. Lord Jesus, I just thank You in advance for what You're going to do by the presence and power of Your Spirit tonight. Hallelujah. In Jesus' name we pray. Hallelujah. All right, you may be seated if you wish. I do want you to keep your Bible handy. I do have several verses I want to go through. I want to target tonight getting about half of this done. And I thought and waited out, and I feel like that all that I have prepared is more than I should attempt to feed. Even the hungriest person can eat, only eat so much. How many are with me tonight? And I know that I'm sort of a bad for trying to go through so many scriptures, and I don't want to get in a hurry tonight. What I have selected is, in continuing the thought of the last days, I want to talk about tonight and focus on, and I've got a reason for this, the nation of Israel. And I'm doing this because of a question that was asked to me. Sister Charlotte asked a question, and with the help of laying a foundation first, I want to get to that question. Don't even know if I can get to it this week, but I feel like I really need to go this route. Turn to the book of Deuteronomy. Now, we've talked about the Lord's coming. How many believe with all of your heart it's the very next event on the calendar of God, the rapture of the church? And I know I've heard people say that this, that, or the other must occur before the rapture can occur. And Brother Micah, I read no evidence of any event, be it the building of the temple or whatever people will say, hear me now, that must occur before the rapture of the church could come. He comes secretly as a thief in the night. And I really believe there will be no indicators of that other than I just believe that there will be a stirring in the children of God that we look up and we're ready to go. I hear a trumpet and I'm out of here. Be ready, get ready, stay ready. Is that all right tonight? But we talked about the time of trouble and some of the reasons, some of the purposes of that time of trouble. And again, I want to go through several scriptures tonight talking about the nation of Israel. I believe that time of trouble is for the people of Abraham, and we will get into that. Someone say, praise the Lord. I do encourage you tonight. Again, I'm going to attempt. How many are going to pray for Brother Ted to go slow tonight? Let's take the slow cook method tonight. I have no reason to rush through this. I really don't. I don't know why. When we rush, it's because it's my fault. Brother Mike, I shouldn't rush, but I do. And I've got this attitude. I've got to feed everybody all this stuff, and I've got to get it out there, you know, because there's so much. And we're going to take our time, Sister Candy, and we're going to get this. We're going to get this right tonight. Deuteronomy chapter number 4. And I want to read beginning at verse number 27. Do you believe that we serve an omniscient God? Who knows what omniscient means? Raise your hand if you know what omniscient means. All right, maybe a handful. Who knows what science is? Science, learning, knowledge, facts. Omni means all. Science means facts. You blend them together, you get omniscience or omniscience, really, is the way it looks. How many understand God is all-knowing? He's omniscient. I love those omni words. He's omnipresent. He's everywhere. He's omnipotent, omnipotent, and he's omniscient. He knows everything. Glory to God. Do you know God knows the result of his dealing with the children of Israel before he ever called Abraham? How many will go down the line and say, boy, that's pretty good. That God knows the end from the beginning. He understood his plan with Jesus Christ before man failed. How many will agree to that statement? Wow, pretty smart God. Knows a whole lot. Amen. I want to know more about a God that intelligent and that knowing. Well, in Deuteronomy, God gave Moses some words back 1,500 years before Jesus was ever here. Verse 27, it says, "And the Lord shall scatter you among the heathen." He spoke this over 1,000 years before it happened. "And ye shall be left few in number among the heathen, whither the Lord shall lead you. And there you shall serve other gods, the work of men's hands, wood and stone, which neither see nor hear nor eat nor smell. But if from this thou shalt seek the Lord thy God, thou shalt find him, if thou seek him," what does it say here? "With all thy heart and with all thy soul." Again, God knew it before it happened. Now verse 30, if you there, say amen. He said this, "When thou art in tribulation, and all these things are come upon thee, even in the latter days." How many believes that God understands what's going to happen to Israel in the latter days? Okay? "If thou turn to the Lord thy God and shalt be obedient unto his voice, for the Lord thy God is a merciful God, he will not forsake thee." Here we go. "Neither destroy thee." And here's the basis tonight. "Nor forget the covenant of thy fathers, which he sware unto them." Tonight's message, more than us delving into the mysterious last days and looking at all these scriptures and trying to unlock and trying to understand Bible prophecy, I want you to know this message tonight is about the faithfulness of God. When God gives you a promise, you can trust in his word. You can depend on him. You can lean on him. And all that God told Abraham, friends, I want you to know he is faithful to carry it out. And tonight I look at the children of Israel. You know, I just don't see a people, and they're not there yet, spiritually speaking. They are physically in their land, but they're not to the place spiritually God wants them to be, and they won't be until after this time of trouble gets them there. Amen? But when I look at the nation Israel and look at some of the ways our country, the United States, is dealing with them, I'm disappointed with some of the ways we have dealt with them of late. I see the children of the friend of God. How many are with me tonight? And all the promises God made to his friend Abraham, he's faithful to carry them out. How many tonight have a personal covenant with God? I do. I've got a personal covenant with God. It ain't because I'm a member of the church. It ain't because I have an ordination license in the Church of God, Cleveland, Tennessee. I'm thankful for that. But tonight I have a personal relationship with Jesus. I have an individual covenant because Jesus Christ, the Son of the living God, came from heaven. He suffered and died for Ted Stidham. I've got that in writing in the Word of God. Got a personal covenant. Now, God made a lot of covenants with folks through time. And friends, I want you to know when God makes an agreement, I like how Brother Lester Turner, he was my pastor. He helped me start out back in, I was his associate pastor in 1983, a long time ago. Praise the Lord. 19 years old and he helped me out. He would always say, God will stretch the devil inside out, turn hell upside down before he'll let one word fall void. How many still believe that? Y'all believe that? It's true. Go to the book of Hosea. The words we just read for you in Deuteronomy, he said that Israel, you'll be scattered among the heathen, but you're going to be reassembled, and in the latter days, you're going to have some trouble. But if you look to me, I'll be there to help you. And then he said, it's all based on a covenant promise. And this is so important that we look at the nation of Israel. The entire Old Testament revolves around this seed coming to be through Abraham, birthing our Savior into this world. God used the nation of Israel and the seed of Abraham to bring our Savior into the world. that we would have a plan of salvation. Now, Hosea the prophet, notice chapter 3. And I don't know if you've ever recognized these verses or not, but verses 4 and 5. And again, if we go at a little fast pace, somebody say, put on the brakes, Brother Ted, do a repeat. I was joking with Brother David. I believe it was you or somebody. I've got a DVR at my house, and we watch TV through a DVR, and that's the handiest thing you've ever seen in your life. I'm telling you what, just a blessing from heaven. Handy. Someone say something. What did they say? You pop and you rewind and listen to it again. And I was saying some folks would love to have the preacher. You don't have him on rewind. What's that, Brother Ted? Some of y'all need to back it up and see what I've said to make sure you know what you just amened. And I've heard people amen everything in the world. Praise the Lord. Hosea chapter 3, verse number 4 says, "For the children of Israel shall abide many days." May I interpret something here? May abide roughly 2,000 years. I'm going to interject that at my own license of my own interpretation. But notice what this says. "For the children of Israel shall abide a long time, many days, in a state without a king and without a prince and without a sacrifice and without an image and without an ephod and without teraphim." Verse 5. "Afterwards," after 2,000 years, after a long period of time, "afterwards shall the children of Israel return." The miracle that happened in 1948 when God fulfilled many promises, and we'll get into this tonight, in allowing them to come back into their land. This is the prophecy, one of the prophecies of it. "Afterwards shall the children of Israel return and seek the Lord their God," and capital D, David. How many understand that to be Jesus? How many understand, and I've mentioned that upon numerous occasions, "and David their king, and shall fear the Lord in his goodness." Read this with me. "In the latter days." So, this omniscient God, hallelujah, I feel like shouting tonight. This all-knowing God, knowing the end from the beginning, understanding a plan he had for Israel, understanding that when he uttered those words to Abraham, in faithfulness, he knew this is going to take thousands of years to come about in full circle. But when God said it, how many can take it to the bank? It's better than the bank. These banks fail today, but my bank has never failed. God's never bounced a check, friends. Hallelujah. Let's go to the book of Ezekiel. Think on the thought here. Many days, 2,000 years, the latter days and the prophecy. And he uses the word David in reference to the king of the latter days that Israel would seek to. Now, not going to turn to every place tonight, but I want to encourage you to read the last 15 chapters of the book of Ezekiel. Start at chapter 34 and go all the way over to 48. You're going to find an amazing set of scriptures there that talk and deal a lot with the last days. How many knows that in Ezekiel 48, he talked about a river coming out of the sanctuary of God, out from under the threshold of the altar, and it flows, and there's a great multitude of fish. There's life there. And that Ezekiel 47 and 12 talk about the tree of life that bear 12 manner of fruit, and the healing is for, the leaves are for medicine, just like Revelation 22 and 2. Anyways, Ezekiel, that span of 15 chapters, how many have ever heard of Gog and Magog? Wave at me. I know we're covering a lot of stuff, and I'm just touching on things. Chapters 38 and 39, and a great battle that's fought there, just like Revelation 19, where that he calls for the fowl of the air and for the beast of the field to come feast this supper and feast on the flesh of kings and mighty men of war. And how many understand that's going to be a massive battle there at the end? Someone say praise the Lord. But we've got chapter 37, and we're going to go to that next, but right now we're going to go to 36. Chapter 34, talking about the shepherds, talks about David being the shepherd in the last days. Not talking about a resurrected King David, but the seed of David, Jesus Christ. Somebody say amen. And again, if you question anything I preach tonight, get a copy of the DVD or CD or get online. We're going to have this posted on the internet. Ezekiel 36, I want to start reading verse number 18. And this omniscient God foretelling the end from the beginning, he says, "Wherefore I poured my fury upon them, for the blood that they shed upon the land and for the idols wherewith they had polluted it, and I scattered them among the heathen. They were dispersed throughout the countries according to their ways and according to their doings I judged them. If y'all reading with me, say amen. And when they entered into the heathen, whether they went and profaned my name, and when they said to them, these are the people of the Lord and have gone forth out of his land, but I had pity for my holy name. And for the house of Israel, they had profaned among the heathen whether they went. Verse 22. Wherefore say unto the house of Israel. Now here comes some divine utterance. Thus saith the Lord God, I do not this for your sake, O house of Israel, but for my holy name's sake, which you have profaned among the heathen, whether you went. And I will sanctify my great name, which you have profaned among the heathen, which ye have profaned in the midst of them. And the heathen shall know that I am the Lord, saith the Lord God, when I shall be sanctified in you before their eyes. Notice verse number 24. Hallelujah. For I will take you from among the heathen and gather you out of all countries, and I will bring you into your own land. Now, how many understand the miracle in 1948 when they were reassembled? And the second part of this, then will I sprinkle clean water upon you, and you shall be clean from all your filthiness, and from your idols will I cleanse you. Now, how many see God doing a work in the people Israel in restoring them back to their land, doing a work spiritually in them, which is yet to happen? Now, let's move forward. We get to chapter number 37. It starts off with God sending Ezekiel down where? In the midst of a valley that was what? Full of bones. He wasn't talking about church. Someone say amen. Hallelujah. I hope this church ain't full of bones. I hope we've got some life in us. Hallelujah. Very many in an open valley, and lo, they were very dry. He starts prophesying, and he starts telling the word of God, and they assemble together. There's a shaking. There's a rattling. There's a great noise, and they assemble together, and flesh and sinews and all that come upon them, and there they're lifeless until he speaks to the wind and breathes upon them. And they do what? They live. And that goes down to about verse 14 or 15. And then he says, okay, take you two sticks. I'm going to give you a parable. And what this parable is going to be is these two sticks are going to be Israel and Ephraim, and he puts them into his hand. And I don't know how I could illustrate this tonight, but if you take two sticks like this, and what he is saying here, I'm going to put you back together. I'm going to reassemble you in your land. You've been dead a long time. Your hope is gone. You wasn't a nation for 2,000 years. Someone say praise the Lord. Notice verse number 19. Say unto them, thus saith the Lord God, behold, I will take the stick of Joseph, which is in the hand of Ephraim, and the tribes of Israel, his fellows, and put them with him, even with the stick of Judah, make them one stick. I just showed you how he done that. And they shall be one in mine hand. And the sticks whereupon thou writest shall be in thine hand before their eyes. And say unto them, thus saith the Lord, behold, I will take the children of Israel from among the heathen, whither they be gone, and will gather them on every side, and bring them into their own land, and I will make them. Here we go. Are y'all ready for this? One nation in the land upon the mountain of Israel. And what does it say here? And one king shall be king to them all. Jump down to verse 24. I could read this whole thing. I know I read a lot of scripture, and I hope that doesn't bother you, but I love to read. Verse 24, and David my servant. Can I again interject? And Jesus my son shall be king over them. And they shall have one shepherd, and they shall walk in my statutes and walk in my judgments and observe my statutes to do them. I've got to keep reading here. And they shall dwell in the land that I have given unto Jacob my servant, wherein your fathers have dwelt, and they shall dwell there, even they and their children and their children's children, what? Forever. And my servant who? Somebody say Jesus shall be prince forever. Here we go. Glory to God. I'm about to shout. Verse 26. Moreover, I will make. Say it. A what? What did God tell through Moses as we begun tonight in Deuteronomy? He's doing this for a covenant's sake. When God gives us His Word and God speaks to us of His faithfulness, we read these examples and we see what's happened over there. It speaks to the faithfulness of God. I can trust Him. I can trust Him and I can build my life on Him. Hallelujah. Now notice this. Moreover, I will make a covenant of peace with them. It shall be an everlasting covenant with them. And I will place them and multiply them and will set my sanctuary in the midst of them evermore. How many are thankful for God's goodness tonight? How many trust the Lord? How many trust in what Jesus did on Calvary to create this covenant of peace? Brother Micah, I was separated without God. I had no way. And I know how many have turned over a new leaf. You know, I know we'll say that. How many have been unsuccessful at resolutions? How many have broken promises to God? Let's be honest tonight. Wave at me. Amen. Some of y'all ready to do cartwheels. That's me. That's me, brother. That's me. What you can't do, the power of the cross can do. I believe what Jesus done on the cross, I believe does the work. Salvation, sanctification, all is provided through that. One nation, one king. That king is Jesus. There's restoration. The restoration of Israel is the resurrection of those bones. Amen. Now, hallelujah. Glory to God. Turn to the book of Luke. I'm going to give you a word tonight. Can't remember what, but I got a phone call the other day. And it was some prophet, mighty man of God. I think it was 1995 to hear a word. Well, I don't know. Y'all get these phone calls. They're just me. Anyways, I wasn't going to give nobody 1995, but I said, well, you know, if you tell me something specific instead of, you know, God's with you. You know, someone says, thus said the Lord, God's with you. Well, guess what? I already knew that. Some of this vague generalized stuff don't get very far with me. I'm sorry. But when the Lord speaks specifically, how many know it's gone? I like how the Holy Ghost moved upon Agabus in the book of Acts and said there would be a dearth. There would be a famine. God spoke specifically, and God can. Amen. God knows what we need. Whatever word is from God, I'll take it. But I'm going to give you a word tonight, and the word is until. Say that word. Until. Louder. Until. What does the word until mean? Until. Until is a conjunction that describes a before and after. Something is in effect when conditions come. Until, and how many know there's a change? Until says something's changing. Something's different. Brother Mike, we're going to change gears. It's going to be different. We got a before and an after here because of what word? Say it with me. Until. I'm going to give you that four times right now. Glory to God. I told Brother Dennis I need to speak about 35 minutes tonight, but I don't know. I don't know if I quit. I get going real good and I can't stop. Y'all have to forgive me for that. Luke chapter number 13. Luke. Chapter number 13. Hallelujah. Do you believe Jesus understands the end times? Verse number 34. Listen to this. O Jerusalem, Jerusalem. Luke 13:34, which kills the prophet. And stonest them that are sent unto thee. How often would I have gathered thy children together? He's talking to who? Jerusalem. And the children of Jerusalem, being Israel, generally speaking, the seed of Abraham. How many are with me on that? Agree with that. And again, weeping, brokenhearted, our Lord is saying, as a hen doth gather her brood under her wings, and ye would not. He done what? He came unto his own, and his own received him not. John 1:12, but as many as received him, to them gave he power to become the sons of God, even to them that believe on his name. So he came to Israel, and how many have noticed in the scripture for that 3.5 or so years that Jesus was here, he focused on the lost sheep of the house of Israel, a Syrophoenician Gentile woman come to him, and he said, should I take the children's bread and give it to dogs? So So focused was our Lord in that dispensation and for His reasoning, focused on the children of Israel, Brother Micah, that He didn't look that way. Although that woman said, don't even the little dogs get the crumbs that fall from the table. And Jesus said, wow, that's faith. And that woman's daughter was healed. Amen. And there was some Gentiles that received from our Lord, but it was mostly focused on Israel. All 12 of the disciples, the original disciples, was Israelites. Now, someone say, praise the Lord. Notice the next verse. They rejected our Lord. He knew it would happen. It says, behold, your house is left unto you desolate. That's correct, Sister Betty. The word desolate means empty. One version of the Bible says your temple is left empty. And what I look at and I say is your relationship with God is now barren and empty. I'm going to go for another direction. Now let's keep reading this. It says, your house is left unto you desolate, and verily I say unto you, ye shall not see me until this conjunction. I want to label it an event indicator. Something's going to happen. An event's going to occur that is going to allow this children of Jerusalem, this seed of Abraham, to recognize, you know what? That man named Jesus was my Messiah and I missed him. Someone say praise the Lord. If you're with me so far, say amen. But notice this, it says, until the time when you shall say, blessed is he that cometh in the name of the Lord. Now, how many understand today that generally speaking, the children of Israel do not receive or accept Jesus as their Messiah? Right now, they don't. There's a scripture that said, every eye would do what? Behold Him. I'm testing you Bible scholars tonight. Even those that what? Pierced Him. And I believe that's a reference to the children of Israel. He's coming back. He's coming back at the end of that time of trouble in His power and glory. And He will reveal Himself to this world. Now, I want you to turn to the book of Micah. We are blessed to have Brother Micah with us tonight. Different Micah, but it's a wonderful name. Now, hallelujah. Jesus was mourning for Israel. He's telling Israel, your house is left desolate. You've rejected me. I've got a plan, and I know how this plan's going to unfold. But your house is desolate. And how many understand several years after Jesus went back to God the Father in heaven that the Roman army came into Jerusalem in 70 AD and Titus had the city basically leveled. The temple of God in Jerusalem, Herod's temple that was built there so grand, so splendid, was not left in complete rubble, but a wall still remains today. How many have ever heard of the Wailing Wall there? It is still there, and people put prayer requests, and they go to that. You know, it's interesting that in Matthew chapter 24, and again, I know I'm covering a lot of stuff tonight, and I encourage you, if you don't get it all, get the CD. Jesus in Matthew chapter 24, coming out of the temple, and the disciples wanted to show Jesus the buildings and how fascinating this was, and He was there at the Mount of Olives. Somebody say Mount of Olives. How many know when Jesus comes back there at the end in His power and glory, where His foot's going to first touch? How many know where that's going to be? The Mount of Olives. Interesting place for this to occur. But Jesus made the statement. You see this beautiful temple? He says, not one stone will be left upon another that will not be thrown down. Well, we've still got the wall there. God's got a plan, and who knows what will happen there, but there's going to be some things happen that will allow Israel to know they've missed their Messiah. Notice Micah chapter number 5. This chapter is known for the prophecy of where our Savior was born. Where was that? Somebody say it good and loud. Bethlehem. And I love how the Lord speaks to places. Jesus just wept over Jerusalem, a city. Who knows who He was talking to, though? He was talking to the children of Jerusalem. He was talking to Israel. But here, our Lord in Micah 5 and 2, He says, but thou who? Bethlehem, Ephratah, though thou be little among the thousands of Judah, yet out of thee shall he come forth unto me, that is to be what? Ruler in Israel, whose goings forth have been from of old. What? From everlasting. Just like our Lord and Savior Jesus looked at Jerusalem and he spoke to Jerusalem and he wept over Jerusalem and he told them their house is left desolate, knowing the plan of God and the state Israel would be in today. I want you to notice the next verse. Our eternal ruler from Bethlehem is going to do something in regard to the children of Israel. Bethlehem, though you're a small city amongst these in Israel, out of this little city is going to come the everlasting king. And notice what he says here. And I'm going to give you my take on this verse. He says, therefore will he, read this with me, give them up. Say it good and loud. Say, give them up. Until. Here we go. What? He is saying, I am going to allow you to be desolate. I'm going to allow you to be blinded. I'm going to allow you to be in this state. You're going to be away from God. You're going to be scattered about. Until something happens. Until, read this with me, the time that she which travaileth hath brought forth, then the remnant of his brethren shall return unto the children of Israel. I want you to turn to Isaiah chapter number 6. I believe our Lord is saying here, Israel, I know you're the place. You're the one that birthed the Savior into the world, but a time is coming. I'm going to have to let you go. I'm going to leave you desolate. I'm going to allow you to be blinded until some event occurs that allows you to be woke up so that you know that I am the true King, that I am the everlasting, eternal King. Someone say, praise the Lord. Now, I've got a couple more scriptures here. I'm going to prove this point tonight. And I know I really didn't mean to speak this long. Isaiah 6, the chapter of the Lord, high and lifted up, and his train filled the temple and all this. Let's jump down even below that to verse 9. Isaiah 6 and 9 says this, and he said, go and tell this people, hear ye indeed and understand not, and see ye indeed and perceive not. Make the heart of this people fat, and make their ears heavy, and shut their eyes, lest they see with their eyes, hear with their ears, and understand with their heart, and convert and be healed. Now, this doesn't end here. Then said I, Lord, how long? How long will this people be in this slumbering, blinded state? And he answered, until. Give me another until. That's our third until, by the way. Until these events occur, the city be wasted without inhabitant, and houses without man, and the land be utterly desolate, and the Lord hath removed men far away, and there be a great forsaking in the midst of the land. These end time catastrophic events is going to be what trips and allows the children of Israel to get their sight back. How many are with me so far? Somebody say until. Now I want you to turn to the book of Romans. Follow me. Hallelujah. I know I'm going fast again. Someone forgive me tonight. It's amazing. You know, tonight, I know this excites me. Maybe I'm the only one. Now, I look around and know we've got a lot of folks out tonight. We've got some folks sick, this, that, and the other. You know, but I see folks aren't really hungry for the Word of God these days. And friends, I'm not afraid of reading end time events. Some folks get scared to death when you start reading the Red Bible. Do you know Jesus? Is He your Savior? You have a personal walk with the Lord? Are you connected with the author that wrote this? I fear and love and respect him. But I'm not fearing what's coming on this world because I'm getting out of here, friends. I'm protected. Glory to God. Romans chapter number 11. Verse 21. We're talking about Israel being desolate. We're talking about the ruler of Bethlehem giving them up. We're talking about how they gave them blinded eyes until these catastrophes happened. Until. Notice verse 21. For if God spared not the what? Somebody tell me what the natural branches are. That's exactly right. The natural branches are Israel. And how many understand that we, the non-Jew, the heathen, I told my dad used to call us that all the time growing up, so I'm acquainted with it. We were what? We were grafted in. In other words, he plugged us into the root stock of heaven through Christ and through Calvary and precious blood that was shed, that the door was opened up, and whosoever will, Brother Micah, I was plugged into the vine, into the very richest that heaven has to offer. And that same sap that flows from heaven flows to me. Why? Because He loved me. Now here He's talking about the natural branches. He's referring to natural Israel. And He says, if God spared not, in other words, He allowed them to be made desolate. He allowed them to be blinded. He gave them up. We've talked about that. Notice this. It says, take heed lest He also spare not thee. Behold, therefore, the goodness and severity of the Lord, of God. On them which fell, severity, but toward thee, goodness. Someone say, thank the Lord. If thou continue in His goodness, otherwise thou shalt be cut off. And they also, if they abide not still in unbelief, shall be grafted in. For God is able. I know Brother Ronnie Rhodes come to me one time. He says, I want you to take the computer, and I want you to go through everywhere in the Bible, and I want you to find everywhere it says God is able. And I did, and I printed him out a book. I want you to know there's a whole lot of scriptures that said God is able. How many understand that God is able? Hallelujah. He told Abraham, if you're able to count the stars. I know anymore we have so much smog and air pollution that we can't even see a whole lot of stars anymore. How many remember years ago on a clear night that they were littered across the sky and there was no way in creation you could sit down and you could count them? Well, guess what? My God can count them. And now they put that telescope up there revolving around the world and they could get a good glimpse out there and they can see for however many miles and they could see quadrillions of billions of stars. And I want you to know the best computer couldn't count them all. But guess what? My God. Not only does He know the tally of them, He understands each one of them. And individually has them named. Glory to God. I read an article today. I read all the time, by the way, if y'all ain't figured this out. I read an article today of a man who has claimed ownership of the moon and Mars, and he'll sell acreage. I know you're laughing. I know you're laughing at that. But he's jumped through a lot of hoops, and he has sold corporations billions of acres, one for $45,000. How many think we're in the wrong business? Someone say, wow. I don't think it's his to sell personally, and I wouldn't give him a dime for any of it. My father owns it all anyways. Praise God. I'm already in the family, Brother Delmer. But you know, they've got these services, and they'll name a star after you. They will. They'll name a star after you. Of course, God's already got it named, and if you do that, you're taking something away from God. I'll tell you what, He's already got it named, and they belong to Him. I'm not going to do that, and I'm not going there. But I want you to know my God is omniscient. He has all knowledge. He understands every one of those stars. Amen. Let me keep reading. Where am I at? Where did I leave off here? He's able. Is that where I left off? I went on a rabbit trail. That was Brother Micah's fault. Hallelujah. He's able to graft them back in. That's where I stopped. Verse 24. For if thou wert cut off of the olive tree, which is wild by nature, and wert grafted contrary to nature into a good olive tree, how much more shall then, which be the natural branches, that's natural Israel itself, be grafted back into their own tree? We see that. Verse 25. For I would not, brethren, that ye should be ignorant of this mystery. How many understand there are mysteries in the Bible? Sometimes hard to understand. But the Apostle Paul here is laying it out very plainly. You don't need to be ignorant of this mystery, lest you should be wise in your own conceits. And here we go. That blindness in part has happened to Israel, read this with me, until. Now that's the fourth time we've read until. That tells me, Luke said it, Micah said it, Isaiah said it, Romans has said it. There are indicators of future events in which God has a master plan, and these indicators, these event indicators, lets us know something's going to happen. Someone say, praise the Lord. Let me keep reading. I'm going to close after this said. I'm going to leave this with you. Hallelujah. I hate to stop right here, but I feel like I'm cooked too much food tonight, and I don't want to throw it all out here. Until the fullness of the Gentiles be come in. Now read this. And so all Israel shall be saved. Now how many believe that if our nation turns its back on Israel, that we're fighting against God, we're opposing the children of the friend of God, and God's got a plan in the last days toward this nation. I believe we need to be friendly toward Israel at all costs. I really believe that. As it is written, there shall come a deliverer out of Zion and shall turn away ungodliness from Jacob. This is my what? Covenant unto them when I shall do what? When I shall take away their sins. Now, how many remember what we read in Ezekiel 36? About them coming into their land at the last days, them being cleansed, God giving them a new heart. There's a lot there. Here we go. Verse 28. As concerning the gospel, they are enemies for your sake, but as touching the what? The election. They are beloved for the Father's sake. Verse 29, for the gifts and calling of God are without repentance. And I believe that that applies to any individual, that God has a calling on your life. He has gifts in your life. God expects you to use them. And friends, God is not ignorant. He knows the end. He knows where we're going with things. And if He gives you a gift, amen. I think He intends you to use it. Say amen. But this scripture is referring to the nation of Israel. God's got a plan for Israel. He's not going to change His mind. He's not going to back up and say, oh, you know what? I made a mistake. Reminds me of the woman that got up and she was one of them, you know, that she wanted to usurp authority all the time. I'm not saying that women-wise. That could be anybody. Say amen. But she had that spirit. I call it a Jezebel spirit. Someone say praise the Lord. Boy, got quiet in a hurry. Hallelujah. But she got up and she was told to sit down. She's trying to take control of a church service. And the pastor didn't see fit. So she backed up and she said, and the Lord will ride over the door. How many of you ever read there in 1 Samuel where that the children of Israel got in trouble and they lost the Ark of the Covenant and Eli had a grandson and the sorrow that was there, they named him Ichabod, which meant the glory has departed. How many are with me? She took a step back, this lady did. Oh my goodness, I'm getting ready to get in trouble. She took a step back and she said, they'll ride over this door, Michelob. I mean Ichabod. She corrected herself. And then, of course, getting embarrassed, says, thus saith the Lord, yea, the Lord did make a mistake. Now, how many understand God don't make no mistakes? That's sad. That's very sad. Amen. And the Lord don't write Michelob over the door. Come on. Question what's in somebody's mind and heart. Glory to God. God don't make a mistake. If God called Israel, He's not going to say, well, you know what? I called Israel. I think I've changed my mind. He knows the end from the beginning. The gifts and the calling of God are without repentance. Can you say amen? Let's stand to our feet tonight. Sister Betty, you want to come tonight and prepare a song? I went a little over halfway tonight and I really want to answer the question that was given. But I want just to lift our hands to heaven and praise Him tonight for His faithfulness. Aren't you thankful for the goodness of God tonight? Aren't you thankful that when He makes a promise to you, He will see that promise through regardless of what happens? Father, we thank You this evening. We praise You this evening. We honor You this evening. Thank You for Your mercy. Thank You for Your goodness and love. Hallelujah. Lord, we just praise You tonight for the cross of Calvary. And to that cross we look. You are our strength. You are our help. You are our high tower. You are our defense city. You are our refuge. And we look to You. We run to You tonight. And we find shelter, Lord, in the shadow of Your wings. We praise You, Lord, for what You've done, what You've provided. Thank You for Your hand extended tonight. Thank You for Your mercy. Thank You for Your goodness. Thank You for Your love. Thank You, Lord, tonight for Your faithfulness. Hallelujah. 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 Have Your way. In Jesus' name. Church, I want us to find a place and pray tonight. Let's call upon the Lord. Put Jesus first in your life. Call upon Him tonight.